one that didn't have a name, so if you know that you filled it out and didn't receive it back, it is on the table here with a question mark. We will be using those later in our small group discussions. All right, so we are having a bit of a switch of, before I mention that, the restroom fob apparently is only necessary for the currently the men's restroom. And we also have a bit of a change of agenda. Since we are half an hour early so far, we're going to go to service summary sheets with, Dean. Take it away.
Hi, everyone. Actually, I'm going to do the budget scenarios, and Johnny and Zee will come down later and do the service summary sheets, if that's okay. Hold on. Stay tuned for more.
Hey, enjoy a great part two.
Hold on, folks.
Another break, yes.
Undisclosed. This is what happens when there's no discussion. We get ahead.
Thank you.
Time to go over the service summary sheets. I thought we were going to do the budget scenarios, but we're going to wait to do that after we have the service summary sheet and the epic presentation. So John Ainsley is doing the service summary sheet for us today. John also put a lot of thought and work into redesigning and reimagining the service summary sheet so there's more visual graphs and information and less text. With Bill doing the Megatrends presentation along with Tracy from both sides of care and prevention. We felt like we could take a lot of the text and information out of the summary sheets and have it represented in a different way. So here, John is going to present that to us now.
Okay, everybody. Well, nice to see everyone. Like Dean said, we did quite a bit of reimagining here with the service summary sheets this year. For the sake of time, I'm going to go through these very quickly. I'm not going to go over all the service categories. I want to give you all some time for questions and feedback. Like I said, we changed these considerably from years past. They were pretty text heavy, and much of it was out of date and not too relevant. So this version is much more visual, and I hope it's easier to take in. And also, this PowerPoint is an edited version. Page numbers are on the top right of most pages. I'll be sure to give you the correct page as we go through it. So, next page, table of contents with page numbers, pretty straightforward. And then the service categories in the order that you all selected last year. So mental health is number one, primary medical care and service excellence two, three, medical case management, and then oral health. Moving on to pages 5 and 6 is the budget breakdown for 2018-19. As you can see, the bulk of HHS funding is from Part A and General Fund, with half of it coming from San Francisco General Fund, which is a substantial increase from years past. Next page, page 7, core services breakdown by service category. Primary medical care and care of excellence are being the lion's share of the funding, with $3 million going to primary medical care and almost $8 million going to the COEs. Next page, page 8, is the support services breakdown, rental subsidies being the largest service category with just over $4.5 million. Moving on to pages 9 through 16, some demographic data. I'm not going to go over all of them, but the general outline is demographic data on the top and then a trend I selected below. So in age, as you can see, the HHS client population is generally over 45, and that is a trend seen below that is increasing. I do wish we could break down the age group more, as 45 to 64 is a very large age range, but this is the best we can do with ARIES. Next page, page 11, housing status. Just over two-thirds have stable permanent housing, but the number of people experiencing temporary or unstable housing has been steadily increasing. It shouldn't be a very surprising trend given San Francisco's ongoing housing crisis. Next page, page 12, something that certainly relates to housing. Here's the client breakdown by poverty level. You can see the HHS client population is a population that's experiencing high levels of poverty, 77% being below 130% of federal poverty level, 138 of FPL being $17,236 a year. Jumping to page 14, viral suppression. These last two slides didn't paint the best picture, but here's something that's definitely positive. Viral suppression has improved by 10% in the 9 years, with 83% being currently virally suppressed in 2019. The next page has viral suppression by gender identity and race ethnicity, but for the sake of time, we'll just move on to page 17. This next few pages explain the general outline of the summary sheets. Top right, in large red font, is a service category as defined by you. Below that is a priority number, also defined by you. Below that is the HRSA service category, and then the definition of the service, and followed by description of the program, sorry. That might seem a bit redundant, but for example, all the Center of Excellence have the same definition of service, but the program descriptions vary widely by population, focus, and geographic area. And speaking of geographic area, below that will be a map with a red dot showing where the programs are located. No program names or agencies are used. Next page, page 19, is a data breakdown. The top will show units of service and unduplicated clients, contracted and provided. Below that, there will be a budget breakdown showing how much of the category is funded, as well as how much was expended versus budgeted. Below that will be a breakdown of demographics. Once again, not too happy with the age range, but unfortunately cannot be helped. We did not include any trans males, as the number of clients is so low to include them would risk client disclosure. All right, we'll jump to pages 22 and 23. Jumping ahead to 22, a summary of the core services, units of service. As you can see, most did pretty well. And then duplicated clients. Truncated on the far right side means that we do not reward programs for overperformance. So if a program achieves, say, 150% of their deliverables, we only count that as 100%. All right, so now we're gonna go over a few of the service categories, but not all. So here's page 24, your top service category, mental health services. You can see the definition of the service and the four programs described, as well as the program locations. Page 25, 87% of the units were delivered with 100% of the clients. We at HHS expect programs to deliver 85% of what's budgeted, so these programs are in compliance. The bulk of the funding is Part A, with just under half being general fund. And then you have the demographics at the bottom. Moving on to page 26, primary medical care, non centers excellence. There's 8 programs located throughout San Francisco. Next page, 27. What should stand out to you is the units of service, only at 70% delivered. Now, if we untruncate the numbers, we need to reward programs for exceeding their deliverables, it increases to 79%. A couple of programs did really well, a few not so well, and this could be an import issue into ARIES. It could also be an issue of clients being virally suppressed and not coming in as frequently. As you can see, the programs are seeing the same number of clients as expected, 98%. Unduplicated clients, but they're not seeing them as frequently. We're going to look into this in more detail in the next few months. The bulk of the funding is general funds, and the demographics roughly correlate with the total HHS population, but vary considerably from San Francisco's total demographics, with HHS clients being more likely male, trans female, African American, and or over 45. Next page, page 28, Centers of Excellence. 6 programs located throughout San Francisco. These programs are focusing on geographic areas, like say the Tenderloin, and or populations of focus, like say women. There's also one program located within jail health services. Next page, once
John,
again.
John.
Yes.
Sorry, can you slow down just a second and give us a few seconds to actually give us information?
Sure.
Because usually we're asking questions in sections, and you're going a little bit faster.
Okay, I'm going to slow down a little bit. Anything have any questions at this point?
Thank you.
Okay. So I'll try and slow down here. I do tend to fly through these things pretty quickly. Centers of Excellence, I'll say that it is also, like the private medical care, heavily funded with general fund. It's also the largest service category by funding level, with almost $9 million being budgeted and almost $8 million being expended. And then at the bottom, you have the demographics. Once again, roughly correlates with the general HHS population. The next service category, you rank this number 4, which is medical case management. There are 5 programs with a special emphasis upon the Tenderloin and the Mission. And you can see the program descriptions there, definition of service, and trying to keep this a bit slower.
John, can you tell me, I know you said it's because it's in theories, but why can't we export that information about age categories and break them down a little bit more? I mean, 44 to 64 is a huge jump, and that is a lot of, is there, to break it down by service category, you can't create any more specific age ranges, just the default age ranges. So when the areas, staff, who's at the areas, information, they run.
Anybody have any questions about medical case management? For medical case management, all is funded by Part A, 100%. 100% of services and 100% of clients were delivered. As you can see for demographics, given the emphasis in the Mission, there is a heavy Latino AX emphasis here. And clients were heavily male, and once again, over 45 for the most part. Moving on to the next page, we have oral health. There are 3 programs in San Francisco, located throughout the city. There are 2 program descriptions there. It's your 5th ranked priority number. And the oral health breakdown, 3/4 Part A funded, 1/4 general fund. Services and client count during compliance with 85%. And anybody have any questions about oral health? Dental? Okay, the next few pages 34 through 41 are the rest of the 4 services. Please do a review, but I probably would jump to a couple of support services. So pages 43 through 45 are a quick summary of support services. Did everyone hear that, or should we hear the microphone number?
Sorry. So there are 2
We fund 2 dental programs with Brian White and Part A. There are 3 representatives. One of those programs refers higher level of care to a 3rd program that only sees Brian White and Part A clients through that referral only and not directly on their own. One program is a school. And they use student dentists, and they see a much larger number of the clients. And there are at times a wait list. The other program is a DPH program, in and they do not have wait lists. So if any of you are frontline workers and you experience any issues of getting folks into dental services, just reach out to myself or Beth or Joseph or anyone at HHS and we can consult. There shouldn't be any wait lists right now, and if there are, speak to me on the break or after.
Okay. Just leave that with TJ.
What?
Yes.
Oh no, no.
Thank you. I was just noticing that for the dental and oral health, 51% of the folks who are accessing those services are white, which is a huge disparity compared to the primary care. I was wondering if you have any insight into why that is.
I, once again, will pipe on that to you.
The payer, really, really good question. Payer of last resort is Department for Ryan White Party of Funded Services. So if a client has private health insurance, they can access primary care. But for dental, it's a different story because most people don't have private dental insurance. So what you're seeing in dental is more of a reflection of the full epidemiology, which you'll see later in a bit. And what you're seeing at the primary care and COE services are the Ryan White eligible client demographics, which are what those programs actually serve. Really good question.
Yes, Lee.
Can you explain a little bit about the disparity in uninsured and a little more context about that?
Yes, once again.
I
didn't hear the question.
I'm wondering about the large percentage of the uninsured. Could you provide a little more context about that and what's being done to get people into insurance?
So is it just in one category?
Just the uninsured.
As a whole.
Well, yeah, the whole population.
So healthy San Francisco counts as uninsured.
Oh, it does.
Yeah, that's not insurance, technically. It's a safety net program and not health insurance. So that number of uninsured reflects healthy San Francisco clients would be categorically ineligible for expanded Medicaid because of their immigration status. And it could be data error.
Do you have an idea of how many people are actually uninsured without insurance that's not healthy San Francisco and not that don't qualify?
It would be in the areas presentation that you all got, and then also in the, are you looking in the beginning of the?
Yeah.
And what's the amount?
Thank you, Beth.
Part of this could be, so like if you present at dental,
yeah,
and you don't have dental insurance, they're gonna put in that you don't have insurance.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of a fuzzy snapshot, to be honest, in areas because of how the data is collected at the point of entry,
okay,
and not overall. So you'll see on the on the dental slide how many clients there are. There's probably like 800, 900 clients. Most all those are gonna come in as uninsured for dental, but many of them probably have private health insurance or Medicaid. So it's not the best snapshot of what that looks like, and perhaps we'll see something better, more accurate of the whole city and county and the EPI profile. If not, we can try to get that information and bring that back to you.
That'd be great, thanks.
Sure.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Yes.
1 second.
All right. I'm just wondering, what is the program associated with the home care program?
The
ACMP, I'm just unfamiliar with that.
So there are two, I believe. The home health program.
I'm familiar with home health care, but the last one.
Home and community based.
Home and community based, yeah.
So one of those is provided by the same agency that provides one of the home health care, and it's a roving service for the most part of an RN and a social worker who see people who are in their home. They also participate in a Medi-Cal waiver program. So these are clients that receive that service but aren't eligible for the state-funded Medi-Cal waiver program.
Okay. Thank you.
And we can talk after break, and I can give you a little bit more.
Specifics, yeah.
All right, any other questions?
Okay, we'll move on to support services then. Pages 43 through 45. Here are the units of service breakdown by the order that you all selected last year. All did very well. Likewise, about duplicating clients, all did very well. And I misspelled transitional housing. Okay. All right, I'm going to go through three of the support service categories, three that kind of stuck out to me. The first one is food, which is on page 52. Thanks, Lee. So there are two programs in San Francisco. One does not provide services directly to clients, rather they provide food to service providers and programs. Any questions on food? Before we move on to the breakdown. All right, the next page. I selected this category because it's one of the few programs that is largely funded with Part B. 90% of that is funded by Part B. All units of service and all unduplicated clients were delivered at 100%, and all the funds, $1.4 million, were expended. And just as an FYI, we did a clinical quality improvement initiative with one of these service providers, and this initiative was recognized by the State Office of AIDS for high achievement.
One moment, let me get you the mic.
I'm just curious if the units are meals?
They are meals, food, meals, and delivered meals and bags of groceries from one of the providers, and the other one, I think it's bulk food, so it goes by weight. Is that right, Dean?
Yeah.
Another question?
Yes.
Just
one moment, Ken. Let me get you the mic while I run and be able to hear.
Just when you're looking at units of service contracted and provided, and you see that there is like less than 100% provided, and yet when you look at the dollars, it's 100% provided. Explain to me.
So the question, why are some programs?
So for instance, food bank and delivery meals are listed on the dollars as 100% provided. So when you look over at units of service, it's only 97% of the units of service are provided. And then just assuming dollars are tied to units of service, aren't they?
Yeah, that might have been a typo on my part.
Well, and it's additionally throughout on other issues too. So I mean, when I look through it, I just initially glanced through where there's less units of service that are being served than are being contracted for. If the dollars are 100%.
That's a good question, Ken. So all of our contracts are set up as cost reimbursement and not fee-for-service. If they were a fee-for-service contract, they would only get paid based on the unit rate and the actual services delivered. Our contracts are set up as cost reimbursement so that providers can be reimbursed for the cost of providing the service, even if they're not quite meeting their UOS goals. So they still have to pay rent and their utilities and often their staff.
I understand that, but when it gets down to like a 93% delivery.
Yeah, hold it to your mouth. Yeah.
When it gets down to like a 93% delivery, isn't there some suggestion that maybe either we need to reduce the number of contracted or they need to do more outreach to provide this?
It's often resulting with a lot of the programs where you'll see this is because of staff vacancies. And we have a process in the business office, in the budget section, as the invoices come in from all of our programs, the invoice analysts review those at each quarter of the year, so the third, sixth, ninth, and final 12th month. They look at what the UOS and UDC goals are for each modality of service and for the program as a whole. And if they're at less than 85%, what that target would be for that quarter, they don't make the payment, they hold it, and they send that to Joseph and I. And we follow up with the provider and ask them, you're low this quarter. Can you explain to us what's going on? What's your plan of correction for that? And 95% of the time, it's a staff vacancy or extended leave of staff, and they're just getting low on units, and they